Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Text comes from Acts chapter 3. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. It could have been the complaint of an underpaid church worker. It could have been the moaning of a seminary student or a deaconess student who never has enough money. It could have come from a faculty member at Concordia Theological Seminary. The words Peter spoke, "Silver and gold I do not have." But that's not what he said. He gave what he did have. The lame man was looking for cash, and he gave him Jesus. "But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." And he walked. Many people who come to the church today, at least my church, don't know exactly what they're looking for, but they're looking for something. Some of them are looking for a baptism, or at least a baptismal party, not the new life given in baptism. Others are looking for a wedding, but not a Christian marriage. Some are looking for a preacher to do a funeral, but not the true message of law and gospel. Many people come empty, just looking. They come with their misunderstandings, and they come with wrong motives. They come not understanding at all, and we don't send them away. We bring them the truth, God's truth. Like Peter and John, we bring them Jesus. It must have been a thrill for that man and those who watched. The man who once was lame now jumped and began to praise God. He went to the temple jumping. People were amazed and people were surprised at what had happened. This was the lame man. They knew the lame man. Peter finally says to people who are amazed that anything good could come from John or Peter, "Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" It's not about us. Professor Bullhagen, when I was a student here at the seminary in field ed, I can still remember him saying it, much to my surprise, that sometime little kids would come to me after church and say, "Good morning, Jesus." And it happened dozens of times, but it happened differently just a couple weeks ago. Little girl Zoe came up to me and said, "Good morning, Jesus, how are you?" Her mother is not too fond of me right now. She grabbed her by the arm and said, "He's not Jesus." I wanted to say, "I know I'm not Jesus, but couldn't you say it in a nicer way?" Peter puts the focus on Jesus, just like John. It's about Jesus' life and Jesus' work. It's about Jesus' suffering and death. It's about Jesus' resurrection. It's about Jesus' power to heal. And it's about Jesus' power to forgive. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It always has been. And it always will be. And it is this morning. It's about Jesus. I have a preteen daughter, and she's entering a rite of passage. I'm going to buy her a shirt that I've seen other girls, especially at the mall, wear. It's the shirt that says right across the front, "It's all about me." Because my preteen and soon-to-be teenager thinks it's all about her. I wish it was just that way for her, though. Because her daddy could have written across his clerical shirts and embroidered into his tie, sometimes, "It's all about me." We could have it written on our business cards, or maybe on the bottom of our progress reports, "It's all about me," or maybe on that paper that we got an A on, or maybe because people are inviting us to speak on conferences, "It's all about me. It's about my feelings, it's about my emotions, it's about my favorite traditions." And then we lose it being about Jesus. About 10 years ago, our congregation, by the grace of God, was building a brand new building, and we were all excited, and so far things had gone wonderfully. Not too many arguments about color of a carpet or paint, until we had one voters' meeting where we would decide whether we were going to have pews or chairs. All hell broke loose. People felt passionately one way or another, and the pastor felt kind of passionately too. It was not our finest hour. It was not our best voters' meeting. We lost perspective. It was about us and what we thought would be best. The voters' meeting ended in a very bad way. A quick prayer from a very angry pastor, and we all went home. Later on that afternoon, though, in the middle of those farm fields, a microburst came down. God had a message for St. Peter. And all our beautiful trusses on our brand new sanctuary laid on a pile. They went with a great crash. I had to call Fritz and say, Fritz, he was on the other side. We don't have to worry about pews or chairs right now. And I had to say, Fritz, I've lost perspective. And he said, I did too, Pastor. We very quickly and easily lose perspective, and it becomes about us, no matter how good our intentions. Peter says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That applies to the people that we minister to, we preach to, repent. But it also applies to seminary faculty members. It also applies to preachers. It also applies to deaconess students and family members and students at the seminary. Repent. Or as Luther said, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers be one of repentance. That includes you and me. This morning, right now, repent and turn to God. But God does not leave us there. When we turn to God, we know of his marvelous grace. Your sins will be wiped out. Then times of refreshing may come from the Lord. It is about Christ and his forgiveness. It is about his good gifts that he daily and richly gives to us. His goal and his purpose by his life, death, and resurrection is that time of refreshment and time of peace would come to you and me, no matter what our struggles, no matter what guilt we're dealing with. It's about Jesus and what he brings to you this morning, a time of refreshment, a time of hope. It's about Christian hope. It's about being reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Christ. Paco and his father were at odds, constantly. They were constantly arguing, constantly fighting, and it disrupted the whole family. Finally, Paco left home, and at first there was peace, except his dad missed his son. So he went from Spanish village to Spanish village, places where he thought Paco might be, looking for Paco and not finding him. Finally, in desperation, the father goes to Madrid, Spain, and puts an ad in the newspaper. Dear Paco, all is forgiven. I miss you. Meet me on Wednesday at Wednesday in front of the newspaper office. Love, Dad. The father walked down the pavement. His heart was pounding. As he turned the corner, he wondered whether Paco was going to be there. But much to his surprise, as he turned a corner, he saw hundreds of Pacos, all looking to be reconciled to their father. I hope that's why we're here this morning, to be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is refreshment, and it comes from the Lord. The writer of Hebrews says there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. The refreshment is here. You are mine. There is a joy in the gospel amidst all the adversity and all the suffering because it's about Christ and his power and his grace as we will receive it this morning. Joy in the gospel, can you believe it? Peace and hope. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. As a seventh and eighth grader, my pastor, strong Lutheran man, used to talk about the joy of the gospel. Except as even a seventh, eighth grader, I thought, you might talk about it, but I don't see it. A smile, word of hope, the joy in the gospel is yours. The time of refreshment has come. It's the joy that we bring to each other in Jesus Christ. It's the joy that we bring to the ministries that we will serve in. It's the joy that we bring to our community, because it's not about us, it's about Jesus. Marvelously, at the end of 2 Peter, St. Peter says it this way, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That applies to the faculty, that applies to the students, that applies to the pastor. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as he gives you his gifts. It's not like as we grow and mature as pastors, as workers in the church, that we need less Jesus. It's about more Jesus. It's about being empowered and receiving his gifts and receiving refreshment from the Lord. A time of refreshment has come from the Lord. And it's not about you. And it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And today is the day of salvation. Amen.